Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, where we hear Jesus telling us, each and every one of us, that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. You may be seated. One of the most frustrating things as a parent, and I'm sure all of you who are parents know this and have learned it very well, one of the most frustrating things is to have to say things over and over again. To hear the very same words coming out of your mouth in one moment, and then needing to say those same words again, and then again, and again, and again. Go clean your room. How many times have you said it? And even if it gets done on that day, you'll go by and you look in there, you peek inside on the next day, and it's just as much of a disaster as it was the day before. And you have to say the words again. Go clean your room. Rob? I don't know where Carly went. Back there somewhere. Cora's your first child, right?
Second child.
All right. So you know a little bit about this, right? About saying things over and over again, but it's going to get more real. It really is. Go do your schoolwork. If you have a child, that's a phrase you're going to say every single day for 13 years. From kindergarten until 12th grade, and then maybe you're still going to have to be on them once they're in college, too. I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. And then there's the granddaddy of them all. For the parent who pays the electric bill, right? Turn off the lights. How many times have you come home in the middle of the day and every single light in the house is on, in the middle of the day, as if the sun didn't exist, as if the windows weren't transparent? And all the frustrated dad can do is say one more time, turn the lights off. Which is exactly the opposite thing of what our Heavenly Father says to us when he looks down at us and he says, leave the light on. He's not concerned about the electric bill. And actually, he's not talking about those lights that provide that kind of light for us. And he delivers this message of leave the light on through Jesus when he says, you are the light of the world. Now, of course, Jesus is actually the light of the world. In one of his famous I am sayings from John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He came to overcome the darkness of sin. He came to break into that darkness in which we live, to overcome the wickedness and the ignorance and the unbelief of this world and its people. And as he says, those who follow him will not walk in darkness. But for him to say, you are the light of the world, could cause us just a little bit of confusion. It's as if we somehow are creating the light, when in fact we're the ones who are walking in darkness. We're much more like those that we heard about just a couple of weeks ago when we read from Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. We're the ones who have seen the great light. We're the ones on whom that light has shined. So Christians are the light of the world in the sense that we reflect the light of Christ, just as the moon reflects the light of the sun. But we can't create that light. We are certainly called to reflect it to the world around us, though. And there's never any shortage of light to reflect, because that light will always shine. That's the nature of light. The nature of light is to shine. There's no such thing as a light that doesn't shine. It doesn't work that way. If it's a light, it shines. It would be impossible for there to be a light that doesn't shine. It wouldn't be a light. It would be like cold heat or dry water. Those things just don't happen. So it's Jesus' nature to be the light of the world. We just sang it in our hymn, Light of Lights, from the beginning of creation. And therefore, his light is always going to shine. He is always going to be that city on a hill that cannot be hidden. He is the one who can be seen from all sides. He is the beacon calling all people to himself. But light can be covered up so that no one else can see it. When you were young, maybe you did this. I know my kids do it. I figured it out, guys. When you were young, you probably did too. You wanted to keep reading past the time that your parents said, lights out, it's time to go to sleep, right? So what do? You sneak the flashlight into your room, and as soon as the light goes out, you pull those covers up over your head, and you turn the flashlight on so that you can keep on reading. Beside the disobedience of all of that, the light that you were using didn't benefit anyone else other than yourself, did it? Your brother or sister in the bed on the opposite side of the room couldn't use that light in order for them to read, could they? In the same way, who have received the light of Christ can refuse to let that light shine. We can refuse to allow that light to be a benefit to others around us. And when we do that, we deprive others of the joys that we know by having Christ's light in our lives. You've been saved by the grace of God through faith. Don't you want others to know about that? Don't you want others to have that as well? The light of Christ that shines through you might just be what someone else needs. And it might be exactly what the Holy Spirit is using so that that other person might come to that same saving faith. You might be for them that city on a hill that cannot, that should not, that will not be hidden. But Jesus knows our hearts, doesn't he? That Holy Spirit who searches God also searches us. And that can be an uncomfortable situation, can't it? Because he full well knows all of the temptations that we often have to hide that light that he shines on us. And he points out the futility of hiding that light that we've been given by saying, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. I used this text this weekend with the boys who were on a trail life camp out over the last couple of days, and I used it as a devotion on Friday night. And I asked the boys this question. I said, why would Jesus say that you shouldn't light a lamp and put it under a basket? Pretty simple question, right? I thought it was one of those softball questions that they were just going to knock right out of the park and then we were going to go on with the rest of the devotion. But they got caught up in what type of lamp it was and what kind of basket they were going to put over top of it, which led them to discern that at the time, people would probably have been using oil lamps with open flames. You know where I'm going with this now. And that the baskets that they would have put over top of them would have been wicker baskets. Therefore, they surmised that the reason not to put a light Not to put a basket over top of a lamp was because you were going to start the basket on fire. And that whole exchange reminded me how frequently we all miss the point. Or we make up our own point. Or we willfully ignore the point that God is trying to make to us. Of course, the reason not to light the lamp and then put it under a basket is because the point of the light is to shine, not to be covered up. As Jesus says, you put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. And yet you all have covered up that light that God has given to you from time to time. And I've done it too. As people who are attached to our sin, living in the dark is so much easier. Having that light shine down on you exposes what happens in the dark. And that's not a comfortable place to be. Anytime the light of the law shows us our sinfulness, we should be seeing that as an opportunity. An opportunity to remember that even though it's uncomfortable to see where our faults and our failures are, that at the same moment the gospel of God's love through the light of Christ shows us our Savior. And it shows us the way out of darkness that we become so comfortable living in. So Jesus tells us not to live there with that light underneath the basket, but rather to take it out and put it on a stand so that it would give light to everybody around us. Because he wants you to live your Christian life in a way that the world may be able to see the difference that Christ has made in you. You are a new creation. Just as Korah this morning in the waters of holy baptism is now a new creation, a daughter of our heavenly Father, a child of God. And when people see that we are new creations, unbelievers who know right and wrong because that light has revealed it to them will seek out the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, so that they don't have to keep walking in darkness. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He's not telling us to make a show of those good works or to parade our piety like the Pharisees do. Instead, he wants us to live out our faith no matter where we are. Here, in the presence of believers, we live out our faith. But also out there, for others who do not yet know Christ. And as long as we keep in mind that the purpose is not our own glory, that the purpose is to glorify God, he's going to help us to know exactly how to do that. And the difference isn't going to be in the outward acts and what those acts look like. The difference is going to be in the heart that produces them. A heart that knows what God's desire is, what God's will is. A heart that reflects the light of Christ to everyone else. Note that Jesus doesn't say that he wants us to be the light of the world. He tells us that that's what we are. We can't cease to be light. We can't cease to reflect his light and still remain Christians. And even if the world around us doesn't understand why we act like we do, even if it doesn't understand why we say what we say, even if it ridicules us for being that light, the time will come when all people have to acknowledge that those works are good. The ones that flow from the love of Christ. The ones that flow out of that reflection of the light that Christ has given to us. Peter says this about the time of Christ's return. He says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. The world that we live in wants to shut off that light that we've been given. Every condescending word, every hateful thought, every word or act of persecution is meant to get us to put that basket over top of the lamp. It's meant to get us to hide that light that God has given to us, for fear that the world, who doesn't want to see that light, will say or do something to us because of it. Korah was given that light this morning. Quite literally, from the Paschal candle, the Christ candle, her baptismal candle was lit. And then that light was presented to her. The light of Christ, the light of our Lord and Savior, was given to Korah, not just in that burning flame, which will be put out, which I assume is put out somewhere at this point. Right? It's over there, yeah. But that light of Christ is hers now because of that water that was poured over her. The washing and the renewal of baptism. She has that light. She carries it now. And I'm going to be praying for her regularly that she lets that light shine. And I'm going to be praying for all of you that you would encourage her, that you would teach her, that you would bring her to church where she will receive God's gifts. It's not easy to live this life as the ones who reflect the light of Christ to the world, but it is what we're all called to do. And when that light that we've been given, when that light of Christ that shines into our lives and then outward from us, when that light kindles new light, and when it kindles new life in someone else, we know that the Holy Spirit is working through us. And so remember, you are the light of the world. Leave the light on. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.